Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I was praying about what to read today, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 came to mind. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, and I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's it.
Yeah, like saving that way. I just wasn't prepared. I was like sitting over there fumbling around looking at something.
Yeah,
like
it was pretty quick.
That was pretty quick.
You know, it's got a lot in that scripture.
Amen. Well, God is love.
Amen.
And the charity it's speaking of there is love. And the love of Christ is that love that passeth understanding. I mean, it's a love that is beyond any love we have ever experienced here on this earth, but from Him. And I say from Him because we each have the experience of that love through His body, which is the church, which is what our job is to walk and manifest that love. Now, I was listening to South Carolina earlier this morning, the beginning, the first song they sang comes from a psalm I want to turn to for a moment, Psalm 25. And the Psalm 25. And it says, the song that they were singing is from verse 4, but I'll go ahead and begin with verse 1. It says, unto thee, O Lord, this is David, do I lift up my soul. And I say this, I want to focus on that for a moment. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. We know that Jesus Christ came to save your soul, my soul. We know that our soul was created by God. It's not created by mom and dad. Our fleshly body was created by mom and dad. But our soul came from God and it returns unto God. And so you see here with David, he begins, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Who else are you going to lift your soul up unto? And if you believe God, then you are going to lift up your soul unto him to be examined. You know, when we think back of, you know, when we were in school and the like, and you had exams, you had tests or examinations to see how well you knew a thing, how you were doing and the like. Well, that's what David's doing here. He's lifting up his soul unto the Lord. All right, to be examined. That he can be transformed in accordance with God's will. Oh my God, I trust in thee. All right, and that's a cry. That is a cry. Oh my God, I trust in thee. It's also like a declaration. And I want you to understand, sometimes when you're standing in the faith, you have to make declarations. You have to choose to stand on what the word says, regardless of how you're feeling at that particular moment. Right? I mean, Raj, you know a little bit about this, right? Sometimes you're not feeling so well. Okay? And it can be a little disconcerting. You know, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? Okay, oh my God, I trust. It's a choice. I determine within myself, I am going to trust in you. I am going to do it. I don't care if nobody around me thinks it's a good idea, because you're not generally going to have a lot of people telling you what a great idea it is. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Watch next thing. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, sometimes we're off course. A lot of times we're off course. Yeah. You know, we get off course, okay, as people. We get off course. And so sometimes, because we're off course and the Lord loves us, we don't end up getting what we want or what we would like to have in that particular situation, because we're just off course. And if you were to do so, it would be to our detriment, right? It wouldn't be to our good. It's kind of like the child who you see who's a snotty nose, da-da-da-da-da, and that you just wait, and it takes some guy on a playground to knock some sense into him, literally, before he wakes up and realizes, oh, people don't like me when I behave this way. Okay, ever see that kind of thing happen with folks? See, that's actually not a bad thing. Scott Stevens talks about it in this sense one time. When he came to the Lord took a key and he like turned his life 90 degrees. And all of a sudden he saw his entire life from a different direction. And he saw this black guy's fist that had shattered his jaw. Somehow it didn't stop him from talking. I don't know how that happened. Some lessons are harder to learn than others. But hi, Scott. But what it was is Scott was in a bad place, and what he was trying to do is score some heroin. And he was in the wrong place trying to score some heroin, and what happened is he ended up losing everything he had on him. His money was taken, and the fist against a brick wall shattered his jaw. And he realized later that that was actually the hand of the Lord for his sake. Because if he had gone there, the type of person he is, he would have probably never come back from it. But the fact that that's what happened. So I just want us to understand as we look at these things, look, some lessons are hard. We get the fact. Some lessons are hard. All right. And some lessons we kind of wish we didn't have to learn, especially the hard ones. But we're thankful once we've learned them. You know what I'm saying? There's actually on the other side of it when you have the perspective and realize what an important lesson it was, even though it was hard, we're thankful that we learned it. But this part of, oh my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. David here is in a place where he was constantly under attack. Not for having done anything wrong, okay? So he wasn't the situation of going trying to score some heroin and requiring the fist up against the brick wall and lose my money and stuff like that. He was in the situation where he was actually doing right, but people were coming against him. And if you're going to serve the Lord, that's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot. It's not only going to happen through people, But it's also going to happen because when you start serving the Lord, you know whose attention you get? You get the devil's attention. You get the devil's attention. When you get the devil's attention, he starts throwing his minions against you. Because before that, you didn't matter. But now that you're an enemy, and it's a bet we battle not against flesh and blood, as the scripture says, but we battle against powers and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, you will get under oppression from a lot of different sides. And in that place, you have to fight. You have enemies who want to destroy you. They want to destroy the work of God in you. They want to rob you of your faith. They want to rob you of your trust in God's word. They want to rob you of these things. And they're going to come against you to try and do so because, you know what? You're a danger. Not only because of your faith, but because of your faith and your love, there's others who then begin to realize that, wait a second, you mean Jesus is indeed the Son of God? You mean Jesus really did die for my sins? You mean Jesus really has the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to perform miracles, and to do all the rest? You mean he really has that power? Oh yeah. He has the power. So you have forces that get arrayed against you. And it's not an easy situation to deal with. And so David here is saying, oh God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Because he was continuously in a place where if God was not there, he was dead. If God was not there, he was dead. It was over. Right? And as a consequence, we see in David forged an extraordinary faith and an extraordinary love. To me, one of the most beautiful examples of that love that I've ever read anywhere in the scripture, and it's frequently overlooked by people, is when David was being chased by Saul and the Philistines were coming against a village in Israel called Keilah, I believe it was. And they were coming against Keilah and they were robbing their threshing floors. So in other words, right after they finished the harvest, you know, I mean, they put in all the hard work, you know, they tilled, they sowed, they cared for it, they get their harvest, and when do they get robbed? At the harvest time, right when all of a sudden they're getting the good things that are going to be there for them to survive the winter. When at threshing floor, it's talking about wheat. And when you're down there threshing wheat, what do you make from wheat? You make flour. And then you have bread through the whole winter. Well, they're being robbed of it, which means famine and starvation. Saul over there is preoccupied with David. He doesn't care a whit about those people from Keilah. David and 200 guys who are with him, who are all the guys who, you know, are behind on child support, don't like, you know, to pay taxes, you know, work under the table and do all the things that, of course, everybody considers kind of the dregs on the outskirts of society. That's who David has with him. Now, mind you, when David goes to the Lord, now David sees what's happening. Nobody else went to the Lord. David goes to the Lord. Lord, if I go up against the Philistines, will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord says, I will. And then a priest comes down, the same one who had given him the shewbread. And so he asks the priest to inquire at the Urim and the Thummim, and they say, yeah, it says the same thing, go up. Now the men, you know, they're accustomed to being vagabonds and stuff like that. And they're thinking, they say to David, don't you know Saul's looking for you? If you go up there, what's going to happen? He's going to find out you're up there. He's going to come get you. But you know what? Basically, they said, they didn't say it in these words, but nevertheless, if you go up, we'll go up with you. So they go up. What happens? The Lord delivers them. And they save the people. It's an awesome thing. An awesome thing. Kind of like Abraham going up and saving Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot too, that happened. People weren't any good. They were evil. God was about ready to destroy them. But he saved them by Abraham's hand. Nonetheless, that was the love because of one, Lot. So, he goes up there and they get up there. And then, of course, the children of Israel, you know, they inquire, Saul hears, or David's aware that Saul has heard that where he's at. So he says, well, the people of Keilah delivered me to Saul. Yep. So you get it, you know. I mean, here he is. He's just saved them, but they fear Saul more than God, so they'll turn David over after he saves them. An extraordinary act of love, and David escapes out of town, so, and in so doing saves the people of Keilah, and in that instance himself. So he was constantly in a place, and you see, notwithstanding the difficulty of it, the love that he showed. Again, why could he show such love? Because he trusted in God. Oh my God, I trust in thee. See, who did he go for about whether I can go up to Keilah? Did he go, I'm pretty big and bad, my guys are pretty strong, we're well drilled, we can do it? No, he says, God, should I go up? Lord says, go up. So he goes up. He goes on, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So now, yea, let none that wait on thee, and this wait on thee means serve. Person who's serving is a person who's attentive and constantly looking for opportunities. That's what you need. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what happens is, if you're going to wait on the Lord, if you're going to serve Him, if you're going to confront those situations that nobody else will confront, nobody else will confront, because it doesn't look good. It looks hard. Right? But you, by contrast, look at it, and because of the love of God and you know what He can do, you choose instead to confront that situation. You go to the Lord, Lord, should I go up? The Lord says, go up, then you're there. You go. Well, what's going to happen to me? Well, that's the thought that doesn't enter into your mind. It doesn't enter into your mind because you're a servant and you trust in your God. So that doesn't enter into your mind. That's why you're free to then go forward and do. By contrast, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. All right. Anybody here ever transgressed without cause? Oh, yeah. Me, myself, and I have done it many, 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 many times. And I know all of us have here. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Well, that's a call to us to recognize that the choices we make are critical. You know what I'm saying? They're critical. What are we going to do? Are we going to be a servant of the Lord? Or are we going to go about doing our own thing? Because when you're going about doing your own thing, transgressing without cause is just like chewing gum and, you know, walking and chewing gum at the same time, or getting on the bike. I mean, it's as natural as anything. You know why? Because you get caught up just in yourself and what's going on with you. I mean, we watched this movie Frozen here recently with the children. And of course, the girl who has this cursed power of making everything frozen, you know, she's put everybody into a perpetual winter, and she's singing how she's free. It's great, isn't it, man? I'm free. Everybody else, it stinks to be them. I mean, they're all going to die because they can't grow anything because it's perpetual winter and everything like that. But I'm free. It's where she's coming from. Even sings a kind of an attractive song in the midst of it. I think it's like the hit from the thing and stuff like that. But that ain't free. And sadly, she never got free in that movie. She never did. She never got free of the curse. But goes on here. Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Now this is the part I wanted to get to. And shew me thy ways. Now, many of us who've been around for years know that we've said there's a common refrain, you know, many people in the church out there say God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to behold. Of course, there's nothing in the scripture that says that. It actually says the opposite. He wants us to learn His ways. So it says, shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. See, if you want to serve somebody and you want to serve them faithfully, then you've got to know what they like, right? You got to know what they want. You got to learn everything you can about that person, because how else can you serve them faithfully? I mean, this is something that happens all the time. I see people, they do things because they don't know how to serve. They do things that they think of, which they think will show that they love a person, want to serve, but it doesn't. It doesn't satisfy. Why? Because it's not something you want or are going to be pleased to have. But the reason why it happens this way is they never learned how to serve. So they just don't even know what the idea is. They were raised to be served rather than to serve. And so it's a hard thing. Do you want to serve? If you're like most people, the truth is, not really. I'd much rather somebody serve me. So then you have a choice. All right. Do I want to learn to serve? Yeah, the Lord says, yeah, we'll be a servant. And if you want to learn how to serve, then what happens is, if you ask, He'll teach you. He'll teach you. And He'll give you the will to serve. He'll open your eyes to see how you can, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your situation is, no matter how isolated you think it may be, and therefore that you, how can I really serve? Truth be told, wherever you are, whatever your age, whatever your time of life, whatever you're going through, right now, there's a way for you to serve. I heard a story one time of a man who was, there was a church, and they had supported a missionary who was overseas. I forget where he was. And one day, I think it was the minister, had just in his spirit felt led to lift this person up in prayer, and he called a number of other folks in the ministry and said, look, you know, we really need to pray for this guy. And completely unbeknownst to them, and honestly unbeknownst to the guy, at the time, he was being attacked by thieves and murderers who wanted to kill him. And he was alone, and nobody was there. And so he was a sitting duck, you know what I mean? He was about ready to be destroyed. And the guys who were there to destroy him, they ended up becoming terrified and fleeing. And their testimony was, and the reason why this came up, is the missionaries back at the church later telling the story. And I don't remember it well enough to say whether or not some of those guys who had meant to attack him ended up coming to know the Lord, or how it was that he came to realize what they were seeing. But somehow or other, he came to know what they were seeing at that time. And what they saw was they saw 12 guys with flaming swords standing up around him. And when they saw that, they let down everything they had and exited stage left. And the minister inquired, when did this happen? And what happened is, it happened at the same time that he had called, and he had the people stand up who he had called. And those were the 12 people with the flaming swords who were standing around protecting him. So I want you to know, I don't care what your situation is and how pitiful and how poor pitiful me, I can't do anything, look, get rid of that nonsense. That is just utter nonsense. It is just utter, complete, and total nonsense. You can serve the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, you can serve the Lord. And if you have a weak will to serve the Lord, I read over where Paul says, where the Lord said to Paul, I should say, where Jesus himself said to Paul over in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, you don't have to go there, but where he says, where Paul had been trying to overcome this one area of sin in his life, and he just, no matter how hard he tried, no matter how hard he fought, no matter what he did, he couldn't seem to overcome. And he besought the Lord about this 3 times. And the Lord's response was basically tough. You know, my strength is made, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, people sometimes look at me and they think Steve's a man of great faith, or this, that, and the other thing, and I can tell you, when I first came to the Lord, it seemed to take everything in me just to possibly believe God. Just to possibly believe Him. Not even believe Him, just to possibly believe Him. I've described, and some of you have heard me tell, it was like I was holding on to dental floss. That was the rope that was holding me up and the like. And I can tell you, I mean, I don't hold on to dental floss anymore. And the Lord has, I use it. I didn't use it back then. I use it now. But the Lord has turned that into a rope. And what I mean by it is, if you can imagine climbing a mountain, if you're climbing a mountain and you're climbing a steep mountain, what do you have to use? You ever see these guys who do it? What do? They get up there and they clamp in these metal things, these brackets or whatever, and they drive them into the rock. They drive them into the rock, and there's a rope that comes back through that, and they pull on it, and they hold on it. If that rope gives, you know what happens? They're dead. It's tickets, man, falling, 3,000 feet or something like that. And they grab hold of that, and they climb up that thing till they get to the next place, and then they do it again. And you know what? There's always somebody up ahead. There's always somebody up ahead who has to get up to that place to then put it in, right? So that then the others can come up. All right? And that person first is Jesus. And then it works down through that line of authority. And if you will trust that rope, you can climb the mount of God. And that's what He wants each of us to do. He wants each of us to do it. And so, praise God. So, shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. And I want to focus on teach me there for a moment. In other words, I ain't got much fetching up. I need a lot of learning. You know what I'm saying? I learned a lot of things out here that pretty worthless. I need to learn your way. I need to learn how you do things. Because the Lord does things perfectly. He is a perfect God. It says we are to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Okay? He is perfect. So, all the things we've learned down here, we've learned from that which is not perfect. We can learn from He who is perfect. But you can't unless you humble yourself to realize your need for that learning. And then when you realize your need for that learning, then you're going to be willing to receive it and change. You're going to be willing to let go of those things from the past and press forward in that new way that He has for you. And I'll just continue a little farther down this. It says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. It's an amazing thing. I mean, here's David speaking. There's a lot of people look at the Old Testament and they see the Old Testament God as being mean, you know, and judgmental and rough. And then we see the New Testament Jesus, and we like Him, that Old Testament guy, man. What's David saying here? This is long before Jesus ever died on the cross. Long before Jesus ever came, His words are, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. See, David got it. See, the people who fall in judgment, you know why they fall in judgment? Because they're justified. I mean, I tell you what, I go to court all the time. I'm in court and stuff like that. The person who you don't have any interest in supporting is the person who's done wrong, and they come pretending as though they've done right. It blows my mind at some of these people that come in there. I mean, they're vicious, and they stand up as though they've done right. I mean, I won't tell you something. I mean, because I hear stuff you guys would never hear. And good for you, you never hear them, but I mean, there are things that just blow my mind sometimes. I mean, just, I stand back and it's like, did I really just hear that person say that to me? And the fact of the matter is they're willing to repeat it because they really believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, how have we fallen to this state that he actually believes that is good? And I had to tell this one guy one time when he was telling me this thing, because he was just telling me he was just loving his daughter. I told him, I said, well, you just admitted to the crime you were convicted of. And that was like a big shock to him. What? Jaw just about dropped. I mean, like, that's wrong? I was like, yeah, that's wrong. It had never entered his mind. He was probably 35 years old. Had never entered his mind that what he had done was wrong. I was like, wow. Okay. So the thing is David, because he knew what he had done was wrong, he's asking for those tender mercies. Do you follow what I'm saying? He knew that what he had done was wrong. Those who seek to justify themselves and explain or blame it on somebody else or any other thing, those are the people who fall in judgment. You see, I mean, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. They fell, right? They should have been warned. They were taken captive. Abraham, one man, just arms his servants, 200 or 300, and goes and defeats 3 or 4 kings, I forget what it was, and delivers Sodom, the king of Sodom, so the king had lost, all of their goods, all of their people, by his hand. The king then comes to give him of the spoil, and Abraham refuses anything from him. He wants that man to absolutely know for a certainty that this, he did not do this because of him. If it had just been him there, good riddance. He did this because of Lot. And because God loved one man, he saved an entire town, an entire city, because of one man he loved. And the town then thought, we're great, we're okay. Judgment of God fell, and he still saved the one. Pulled Lot out. He pulled Lot out. The Lord knows how to, not to judge the righteous with the wicked. He knows how to save his people. So, David, you know, remember the Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. From the very beginning, from their let there be light. In fact, from before the let there be light. The Lord's loving kindnesses were there. That's why before he ever said, let there be light, he, knowing the nature of man, chose to send his son to redeem us all. Knowing that if by one man, Adam, who lived in a perfect world without any, no unbelief, no sin, no death, nothing. He could put a man who knew him intimately. He could put him in that place in the Garden of Eden, in that beautiful place, and know beforehand, just like we know with our own children, that doesn't matter how many times you tell them, don't do that. What are they going to do? It's like a magnet. I'm going to do that! And so what did he do? Adam fell. And then Jesus took and he slew the lamb and he clothed them and he said that, you know, yes, to Satan, he said, yeah, you'll bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman, Jesus, going to stomp your head in, put an end to this. So he, in his loving kindness, before he said, let there be light, knew that's what he was going to do, and he did it. Came here and fulfilled it for us. And if you watch as he goes on, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. David's entire hope here is not in anything relating to himself. It's all in the goodness and mercy of God. He understands and gets what the plan of God is. And he's grateful that God would see fit to let him be a part of that plan. And he goes on, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. It's an amazing thing. Look at that. Who qualifies to learn it? Sinners. Let me ask you, do we have any of those types in this little congregation? Got any sinners here? Any sinners around here? I don't see any hands going up. I got both mine up, but I guess some other folks are starting to get them raised. Okay, all right, don't be ashamed about it. It's all right. But you see, now think of that for a moment. From the time, I read a book years and years and years ago. I thought it was very interesting. It was all screwed up, I realize now. But they had one interesting thing, and that was this. You know, when you're 5 years old and you go into kindergarten, the way they sort you in kindergarten basically defines almost uniformly how you'll be sorted for the rest of your life. Now, I mean, it's not obviously absolutely true. Don't get me wrong. There are people who defy this, and praise God for that. But there's a lot of truth to it, isn't there? That's the way of the world. They sort you based on how, you know, what you eat, what you wear, what you, whatever, all kinds of different things, you know. And they sort you. But the Lord here, if you notice that, what did he say? See, this one, I want you to get this past your mind. It says, good and upright is the Lord because he's good and upright. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. It means he's going to take you right where you are now. Not require you to change a single thing. Not a single thing. And if you'll let him, he will teach you in the way. He'll do that for each and every one here, without exception. It's an amazing thing that God Almighty would humble himself and lower himself to show me how to tie my shoes, wipe my butt, do all the basic, simple things that I need to learn how to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm actually talking about it in the sense of the equivalent of those things in the spirit. Okay? He'll teach me from the very beginning as a newborn babe who knows nothing. Everything I need to know to walk in him and be perfect, even as he is perfect. He will do that for me. Will you believe him for it? You know what I'm saying? Will you believe him for it? If you will, you're going to see some extraordinary things. You're going to be able to partake of some extraordinary stuff. Because he's an extraordinary God. Amen.